Turn with me, please, to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1. Reading the verses 10 to 12. Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. The first nine verses of Peter's first epistle describe the wonder and the glory of the salvation purchased by Christ for his people. And, as we have seen earlier, the inexpressible joy that comes to the believer because of this salvation. Now, here in verse 10, Peter is explaining and reminding the believers that this salvation was planned in eternity and prophesied by men of God throughout the whole of the Old Testament. And it is rather a tragedy that so many evangelical Christians willingly ignore the Old Testament as though it has nothing to say to them whatsoever. They want to direct their attention only to the New Testament. But the Bible, the Old Testament and the New Testament, is equally the Word of God. And the Old Testament equally speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ, as does the New Testament. And that is what Peter is reminding the believers here. Of which salvation, that salvation that he'd been speaking about in the opening verses of the letter, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently. And what did they prophesy? They prophesied of the grace that should come to you. In other words, the gospel. Now, the fulfillment of the plan of salvation may have taken hundreds of years. It took many centuries for the plan of God in eternity to be realized. But it was absolutely certain and sure. And so it could be predicted with total certainty and accuracy by those whom God raised up in a previous generation. Now, I want to draw your attention, first of all, to the call of the prophet. Peter mentions those prophets who had preached the word throughout the ages of the Old Testament. And I want us to look very briefly at the call of the prophet. And the Bible makes it very clear that a prophet was not somebody who decided that being a prophet might be a good career choice. A prophet was to have a distinctive call from God. And we see that call set out in Deuteronomy chapter 18 and verses 9 to 22. There were three things. First of all, the prophet was to speak in the name of God. He was to be an ambassador. as he stood and proclaimed the word to the people, he did so speaking in the name of God. It wasn't his desire, it wasn't his words, it wasn't what he wanted to convey to the people. He was standing there in the name of the Lord. Secondly, he would speak only what God told him to speak. These were God's inspired and infallible words that the prophet was to speak to the people. And the third thing that Deuteronomy makes clear is that the prophet would be vindicated by the fulfillment of his message. If he was to speak the word, and the word that he spoke did not come to pass, then he was a false prophet. Now, many of the Old Testament prophets did not fully understand what they were prophesying. They were given words from God that the full import of they did not fully understand. Although Peter tells us here that they tried to understand it. They diligently inquired. They tried to understand what it was that God was saying to them. Now, it is true that some of the prophecies had a fairly immediate fulfillment. They came to pass shortly after the prophet had made his prediction. Although the prophet did not only speak predictions, he spoke the word of God. But some of these prophecies came to pass many, many years in the future, especially those that we consider to be messianic prophecies. Let's have a look at one of these prophecies in the Old Testament. Turn to Jeremiah. Jeremiah and chapter 1. Jeremiah and the first chapter. This is a good example of the call of the prophet. Let's read some verses from the opening chapter. The words of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, of the priests that were at Anathoth in the land of Benjamin, to whom the word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah, the son of Ammon, king of Judah, in the 13th year of his reign. It also came in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, unto the end of the 11th year of Zedekiah, the son of Josiah, the king of Judah, unto the carrying away of Jerusalem captive in the fifth month. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Behold, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee prophet unto the nations. Then I said, Our Lord God, behold, I cannot speak. I'm a child. But the Lord said unto me, Say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, says the Lord. So Jeremiah tells us that, first of all, he was foreknown by God. Now, that doesn't just mean that God had knowledge of him before he was born. It means that he was loved by God before he came to birth. And he was not only foreknown or foreloved by God, but he was set apart for this particular ministry before he was born. It didn't depend upon his gifts, his abilities. It didn't depend upon his desires. It didn't depend upon anything else. God, in his infinite wisdom, had selected Jeremiah to be a prophet of his word. He was set apart. He was sanctified. You see, that's the word. Set apart, sanctified before he was born. And so his sense of unworthiness was completely irrelevant. It didn't matter what Jeremiah felt. It didn't matter that he thought that he was a child and incapable of carrying out this task, because this was a task for which God had prepared him before he was born. You see, God decided, God selected, God chose him, and he made it happen. And Jeremiah was to proclaim an unpopular message. He didn't proclaim a message that he would have chosen to proclaim. He didn't proclaim a message that would make him popular. He preached the words that God put into his mouth. And although the prophets did not fully understand the message and the relevance of the message that they were proclaiming, it was revealed to them, says Peter, that the blessings prophesied would be for a future generation. That's what Peter says. Unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent from heaven. Must have been hard for the prophets, don't you think, to proclaim a message knowing that it was God's message, but not really understanding fully what it was all about. And yet, this was God's process. This was God's way of bringing his message to his people. The second thing here is the central theme of the prophets. They were called by God, they were equipped by God, they were sent by God. But they were given one central theme or message. Now the prophets proclaimed many different things. They told of dire warnings of judgment to come. They spoke of blessings that were to come to the people of God. They spoke of the defeat of God's enemies. They spoke of exile and return from exile. But the central theme of their prophetic work was the coming and the work of God's Messiah. And that's what Peter tells us here. He says, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. They preached of the grace of Christ. Centuries before the Messiah came, they told God's people that the Messiah was coming, that God's grace would be manifested to his people through his coming Messiah. And one of the wonderful things that we read here in these verses is that they preached through the Spirit of Christ. They preached through the Spirit of Christ. Even though Christ was not yet come, yet the Spirit that enabled the prophets to proclaim the message of the gospel was the Spirit of Christ. We might say it was the same Spirit that was in Christ. It was the same Spirit that was in the apostles when they preached the gospel of Christ. And it is the same Spirit that is in faithful preachers of the gospel today. It is preaching through the Spirit of Christ. If you think about it, when someone preaches the Word of God, especially in a congregation where there are unbelievers present, the Word may be proclaimed simply. It may be proclaimed faithfully. It may be simple and clear and plain to understand. But an unbeliever can sit and listen and understand and walk out the same as they came in. Why? Because they were too stupid to understand it? No. Because what they heard was the voice of the preacher. They never heard the voice of Christ. They never heard the voice of the Spirit of God speaking to them. And yet God does speak through his appointed agents, through the prophets in the Old Testament, through the apostles and the early church fathers, and through his people today as they proclaim the message of the gospel. So they proclaimed this message through the Spirit of Christ that was in them. And what did they proclaim? They proclaimed the sufferings of Christ. You see, for the Jews in the time of Jesus, the sufferings of Christ should have come as no surprise to them. It should have been no surprise to those in Jerusalem when Jesus was crucified, that he would be crucified. After all, their forefathers had been told in the Old Testament, in the Psalms, in Isaiah, and in the other prophets, they had been told that the Messiah would come, and that the Messiah would suffer, that the Messiah would die. They hadn't listened to the prophets. They hadn't listened to the message that God had sent to them in a previous generation. And the central theme of the prophets was the grace that would come to God's people through the Spirit of Christ that was in them, the sufferings of Christ and his coming glory. All these things were mentioned and proclaimed by the prophets, preparing the people for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. You only have to look at a couple of these prophecies. For example, Isaiah 52 and 13 through to 53 and 12. The sufferings of the Messiah. How he was despised and rejected. How he would be taken by cruel men and evilly used. How he would bear the sins of his people. And you look at Isaiah chapter 9 and verses 6 and 7, how they were told that the Messiah would come. Isaiah 7 tells us that he would be born of a virgin. All these prophecies were there to tell the people about the coming Messiah. But they didn't listen. The central theme of the prophets was the coming, the work, and the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. The third thing we see in these verses is the continuity of the prophetic message. The continuity of the prophetic message. Peter speaks specifically about the prophecies concerning the work of God's Messiah. And those prophecies were incredibly accurate. Isaiah spoke of the disfigurement of Jesus prior to the crucifixion. Turn to Isaiah chapter 52, that chapter I mentioned previously. Isaiah and chapter 52. Isaiah chapter 52. Behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. As many were astonished at thee, his visage was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. So shall he sprinkle many nations. The kings shall shut their mouths at him, for that which had not been told them they shall see, and that which they had not heard shall they consider. His visage was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. There's a verse that speaks of the disfigurement of the Lord Jesus Christ prior to being nailed to the cross. And then in verse 15, it says, so shall he sprinkle many nations. And what does Peter say in his first letter in the first verse? And verse 2, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. So shall he sprinkle many nations. And remember, Peter was writing to people of dispersion. They had been scattered abroad, and he preaches the word to them. So we see the continuity of that prophetic message. The message of the gospel preached by Peter and others, as Peter says here, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us did they minister the things which are now reported unto you, by them that have preached the gospel unto you, with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven. The same Spirit was at work within the prophets that was at work within the Lord Jesus Christ. The same Spirit that was at work with the apostles and those who faithfully proclaim the gospel to the present age. You see, there is a continuity. There is no difference between the Old Testament, the New Testament, and the present age. It's one gospel. It's proclaimed by one Spirit for one purpose, to bring honor and glory to God in the building of his church. It is no wonder that Peter says here, which things the angels desire to look into. It's no wonder that the angels, who know nothing of sin, who know nothing of redemption, that they should look with amazement at what God has done for his people. It is no wonder that they long to look into the whys and wherefores of this tremendous plan of salvation, planned in eternity, prophesied in antiquity, and purchased at a specific historic moment, and continually proclaimed and applied throughout the world. What a wonderful salvation. What a wonderful message. A message that was proclaimed centuries before Christ, looking forward to Christ. A message that was proclaimed in the same way in the early church, when people went out from Jerusalem and spread the message throughout the Middle East. Proclaimed today in Loughbrickland, proclaimed today in China, proclaimed today wherever men and women meet together, the same gospel, the same message. And of course, as we saw this morning, it is this salvation that brings great joy in spite of prevailing circumstances. And this is a message, the message given to men like Isaiah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel and Amos and the rest of the prophets, the message given to Peter and to Paul, the message given to preachers of the word today is the one message. And it's a message that we all have been given. Not just the ministers of the word, not just those who have been charged with the responsibility of proclaiming the word of God to sinners and saints alike, but we all, every one of us, have a message to proclaim. We are to be his witnesses wherever we are. We, like Jeremiah, may think ourselves unworthy of this calling. When we think of how God has called us from darkness to light, when we think of how God has graciously been pleased to save us, when we think how the Lord Jesus Christ was crucified for us, why me? Why me? When we hear the word of God that tells us that we are to be his witnesses, we are to be his ambassadors, we are to speak and witness for Christ at school, at home, at work, in the street, we are to be his witness, his witnesses. Do we, like Jeremiah, say to God, I can't do it. I can't do it. I'm too young. I'm not clever enough. I'm not bold enough. Lord, not me. Somebody else. But as God gave to Jeremiah these encouraging words, I will be with you. I will be with you. He says that to us. We have the same message. The message preached throughout the Old Testament. The message preached in the early church. The message preached from generation to generation. That message is now in our hands. That message is in our hands. We are to be his witnesses, speaking for Christ as ambassadors for Christ. We may feel unworthy of our calling, but God is sovereign, and what he wants, he makes happen. He is God. I will be with you. I will put words into your mouth. We may not be prophets like Jeremiah. We might not be apostles like Paul and Peter. But through God's grace, we have been redeemed. By God's grace, we have become his ambassadors in a broken and wicked world. We are to spread that gospel, that message of sins forgiven. We may not be able to preach, We may not be required to preach, but we can tell thirsty men and women where they can find water to drink. We can point them to the fountain. May God help us to be witnesses for him. May we proclaim that same message proclaimed by Jeremiah, Isaiah and the prophets. Proclaim that message that Peter spoke of. Proclaim that message that God has given to his church to proclaim to a lost and perishing world. Let's pray. Our gracious God, we thank you for the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments. We thank you for the message that was brought through them. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that what you prophesied came to pass. And we thank you that your word is ever reliable and ever true and can ever be believed. And, O Lord our God, we thank you for the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit that enables us to proclaim the word of Christ to men and women. O Lord our God, be pleased to enable us to be faithful witnesses, faithful ambassadors for you. We give you thanks, our gracious God, for a full and free salvation. And we pray that we might radiate the joy of that salvation wherever we find ourselves. Accept our thanks and pardon our sin, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.